Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Huron County Author Talk, a podcast where a group of talented local authors share their insights on the remarkable, imaginative, and nuanced world of writing. I'm your host, Hamilton Baker of the Huron County Library, and I'm excited to bring you another episode in our new show. In episode 6, Sandy Plewis, Tim Cumming, and Maren Lobb joined me at Maelstrom Winery for a roundtable discussion. This time around, the group discusses different aspects of self-publishing, including why people choose to go that route and what the experience is like.
So then, Maren, you never tried self-publishing?
I have not. No, I don't know a lot about it, honestly. I basically decided when I was 19 or 20 that I wanted to go this route, and then I kind of had it in my head that that's what I was going to do, so right. I haven't done anything self-publishing related, no.
Okay. I guess that's part of my, because I have heard about, when you go traditionally published, you can lose some control, like, for instance, the title. Is it true that if you have a title picked out, but your agent or your publisher doesn't like it, they just change the title if they want?
They won't just change it. Usually you have like a brainstorming session where you and your editor and your agent will all kind of, we did this for my second book recently actually, because I didn't have a title picked out for it. You kind of have a big brainstorming chat and try to come up with the title, and if you already have one, they can say that they don't like it or they don't think it'll be a good fit. But they won't just slap a new title on it and tell you that that's how it's going to be. At least not in my experience.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that has happened to.
Right.
So your settings and everything are in the States then, are they, if that's where you're publishing? Your settings and everything are in the States?
No, I write fantasy, so they're all kind of made up. But for my view, it's kind of Italian inspired.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember, I can't remember his name now, but a young man who came to speak to us in Bayfield, and he had a book published, I think, in Canada, and then it was picked up in the States, and they changed all his settings and his spelling and everything because they wanted an American, right? And he wasn't very impressed with the changes they made, and I don't think he had much input into it. But obviously that hasn't been your experience, so.
No, I think, I don't want to say a reputable publisher would not do that, but when you have, like, if you have a manuscript that's with a publisher that's published in Canada and then it goes over to the US, they will change the spelling just in terms of like the general spellings that you would change, right? But they won't any good publisher will not rewrite any of your book without your consent. They will not change anything without your consent. If they are doing any of that, that is not a good publisher. And I tell people that in my mentorship every time. Nobody does anything without your consent, or that is not a good publisher.
Right.
I'm not sure if they did it without his consent. I think they just insisted. They told him he had to do it and whatever, but he had to consent to it first.
Even that's the kind of stuff that if you have an agent to negotiate a contract, like that stuff should be brought up initially at the start. But changing a setting in terms of like, if you're selling to a different country, changing setting, that's not something that I've ever heard of being done. I would be very skeptical about that.
Okay.
That is not something I would accept if I was negotiating a contract with my agent.
Okay, it must have been, I think it might have been a fairly small publisher or something. I'm not sure. I remember him being very irate about everything, so.
Right.
A lot of small publishers that I've seen online, like, there are ones that are good, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them come off as legit, and as soon as you dig even a little bit deeper on their website, there's red flags that pop up time after time, and it's like, I don't know how they get them past people, because I know so many people who've been burned by them, and it sucks to see. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of them for that reason. I do like some, but I don't like how easily they can pull one over on you, because anyone can just put up a website and say, I'm a publisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tricky to navigate that and find out which ones are actually good.
And I'm on Twitter, I'm in a bunch of writing groups, and I find there are lots that that would say, we're open for submissions and all this, and you think, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems to me they shouldn't have to try so hard if they're good.
That's exactly it. All the ones that I see that post on Twitter constantly that they want submissions, that's an immediate red flag to me.
It
if
is.
You're soliciting submissions like that, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know a girl who's been burned so many times, and I've said to her, quit. If they ask you for money, they're not legitimate. But she doesn't listen.
Yeah. Right.
And she keeps getting burned because she's so desperate to be published.
Oh, jeez.
That
she,
you know, anyway.
And in that case, I would just self-publish. Like, if you're going to put money into a vanity press, just put it into your own work and do it yourself, right?
Yeah. I don't
know. Some people have to learn the hard way, I think.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Well, and speaking of self-publishing, I was going to ask you guys what has worked well. Like, what, in your self-publishing experience, what worked well and what didn't? That's a pretty broad question.
So you've had both experiences?
No. Just I self-published both of them in the
end. Okay, you did.
The first one I didn't feel had a market in Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't, for some reason, think I should go to the States, but I didn't think they'd even look at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put it out on my own.
Okay.
And it sold really well. But it was set here in County.
Sure.
It was, had the big blizzard of 71.
So there's some interest in it.
Yeah, and there was a lot of interest.
Wonderful.
I don't know how many times I had to reorder.
Wow, that's great.
Like 12 times or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
it really sold well.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, which was a far better written book, in my opinion,
right.
And I'd gone through the Hunger School for Writers with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed that it didn't sell well, and I had a following by that point, around here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
People asking for the second book, and then it didn't sell as well. So, I mean, it could have been many things. It could have been the pandemic. It could have been just they wanted the same setting. I don't know. And it was also a different kind of book. The first one was suspense. And the second one was literary. So that could have also had something to do with it. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it sold. I'm not saying it didn't sell. It just didn't sell like the first one sold.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But my experience has been generally good. But I taught creative writing for a while, and I'm aware of what Marianne was saying about all the scams out there and all the problems, and so I sort of knew to stay away from all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, there's lots of indie, I guess they call themselves indie publishers, who are after you on Twitter too, and I don't pay any attention to them.
Right.
Like, they want so much money to help you get your book out there, and, you know. So you just sort of have to know.
Well, basically that golden rule, if they ask for money,
yeah,
avoid them, basically.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
And, and I have worked with, on both books, a gentleman who, that's what he did. That was one of his many businesses. He took a small amount, wasn't a lot, to get your book out there for you. And he formatted it and got it sent to Amazon to the KDP Select, that printed it and put it on Amazon, and he did all the heavy work, and I think he got 25% of the sales, and I got 75. So it was, you know, it was quite reasonable, and he was very good. But he's not doing it anymore. So this one, the one that's coming out in December, hopefully November, I have to kind of try and figure that out myself. And my son is helping. He's a web designer. He's also helping me with it.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but I miss that other. I miss him. I wish he'd come back. Yeah. He was so good.
Oh,
and he knew all the how to put in all the buzzwords. You know that when you get it online, people will click on it.
When you search
certain words, right?
Certain words.
He knew how to do all that. He was really good.
Anyway. Which that's valuable for self-publishing.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
He was really a huge help. I couldn't have done the first one by myself because I had no idea how to do it.
Right.
So, no, I've had a good experience for both of them. I don't know. I think the traditional route that Marianne is talking about is a lot of legwork. To find the publisher, to find the agent, I think it's worthwhile if you have the energy for it and you want to do that. Obviously, it's worked well for. Pardon? What was that?
Sorry, I was just saying it's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little bit of luck and a lot of dedication, I think. But no, that's congratulations on in your self-publishing that you. Have been able to sell both those books, and the first one really connected to people, and because of the, partly because of the theme or the genre, but also obviously the quality of the book too, and to have published it and to reach people like that, and that's phenomenal. Well done.
So obviously, I set the third one in Heron County.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's
live and learn.
Right? Yeah.
Well, it's nice to know there's an interest in local theater.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wonderful.
But it's like for me, it's easier just to do the self-publishing. But the downside is you don't hit as many markets, and I'm selling well around here, but
right.
I'm not known elsewhere, and.
Right.
You know, so there's, I think one has advantages and one has disadvantages.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
I don't know. For me, the self-publishing probably because I just don't have the time or I don't have the age. I'm not young enough to spend a lot of years at this, right?
Yeah, yeah. It also depends on what your goals are and what you want to achieve and, it's wonderful to be able to be published, and I think the fact that Hamilton has brought together this writers group and shown the initiative to do that has been great because it shows what we have in this county in terms of people who have successfully self-published, but also successfully gone out and found agents and publishing contracts and gone international, and that's a kind of a hidden gem, kind of like this Maelstrom Winery where we are here today. One of Huron County's hidden gems, and also the writers that we have here. It's amazing, this group, and it may look like a small crowd tonight, but I know people had some reasons they had to pull out tonight. But we've had some good attendance at. Some of the other, and I think there's definitely an interest, and it's been fun finding out what's out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only the thing I've found with self-publishing, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but there is a stigma attached to it.
Sure.
People
yeah.
assume
yeah.
that you self-publish, you can't write,
mm-hmm.
or you don't write
that
well.
That it doesn't meet the same quality standard, and. That's not entirely unfair for people to think that. Like, I mean, I think the people that are able to go out, like, tonight you see an example of somebody with the initiative to go out and get the connections with the agents and get published by a big five publisher and that. I mean, that is an accomplishment, and obviously, they don't invest resources in something that's. Not the quality, but at the same time, there are a lot of quality self-published things out there, and there probably was a time where nobody made the move from self-publishing to publishing, but I think, Hamilton, didn't you say that we've had local examples here, people that have self-published and then later on...
Well, Judy, right?
Yeah. So Judy Keitley, who wanted to be here tonight, but unfortunately it couldn't be here tonight, but yeah, there's a case where she's someone who self-published but has since had a publishing contract and had her books are in Fincher's and
they approached her.
And they approached her, which is
a really, publisher approached her,
which
yeah.
Is very
cool. A lot of people that's happened to.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
just like, I know a lot of people through social media, but I know quite a few who have had good success with self-publishing and then they do end up actually republishing their book through a publisher.
Uh-huh.
I know one girl who had a book that she self-published and it did so well that, well, you might even have heard of it if you read fantasy, but The Atlas Six is a huge title right now.
Okay.
And it got published, self-published, and it did so well that it got bought by pretty much the biggest adult fantasy publisher, and now she has a ton of deals and they republished the whole book, and it was pretty amazing.
Well, that's inspiring.
So there are publishers that they don't care that you've already self-published, you can send to them anyway? Like that you can send the book to them that you've self-published?
So it's kind of complicated because most agents that submit to publishers, they don't want to see stuff that's already been self-published. They don't want you to send it to them. They want to find you, essentially, which is kind of frustrating, but... Yeah, a lot of agents say, don't send me anything that's already been put out on the internet or that's already been self-published. But then there are books that, if they do well through self-publishing, then the publisher or the agent will go out and say, hey, we want this, we're re-releasing it as, a Disney book or an Orbit book or something like that, and then that's what they do.
Okay, but they have to find you first.
Right. Sounds like it.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
Which explains, because I had heard that, it's hard to make the transition from self-publishing to traditional publishing for kind of that reason. I was a bit surprised, Maren, when you said you know a few people that's happened to, because it sounds like it's difficult for that to happen from what I've been told.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot. Generally, you would have to write a whole new book and then pitch to an agent or a publisher with that new novel. You can't pitch one that's already been published.
No.
But yeah, like I said, every so often it does happen that one blows up usually through like TikTok or something like that, and a publisher sees that success and they're like, hey, I want that, and then they get it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Huron County Author Talk with your host, Hamilton Baker. If you'd like to learn more about the authors or to purchase one of their books, you can visit their websites. For more information about the podcast, you can visit the library's website at huroncountylibrary.ca. Stay tuned for our next episode that will release in 2 weeks. The music on this program is Echo by Alan McKellis. Thanks for listening.